talk about, there are just some people you can't help. And we're going to go through 10 types of people that you just can't help. And even though you've tried, even though you want to, sometimes you just got to walk away from them. You know, as Christians, people in the world try to put expectations on us of what we should be as Christians. It's funny how the world can tell us how we should behave, but we can't tell the world how they should behave. But as Christians, sometimes we're expected to go beyond what the Word says, even, to help somebody. And that's hard for me sometimes when, you know, you have, like, pressure on you as a Christian to walk a certain way and act a certain way of what people think a Christian should be. And really, you're just trying to live up what God wants you to be, what God's Word says and what He says about those things. You know, I try to keep my Christian relationships and those kind of things low-key, especially, you know, when you're in the public. Some Christians will think that if I'm a Christian and you own a business as a Christian, then you should give me a deep discount. You should do that. And no, you should be believing for the finances to pay for that service or that good so that you can be a blessing to somebody and do and promote them. You should be living at a higher standard than what you're trying to do with that. That kind of mentality is just because I'm a Christian, I should get treated differently, is not getting us anywhere. In the world, people are saying, oh, man, look at that. They expect to be treated different just because of that. See, let's look in the Bible in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says, brothers and sister, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in a way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to something else. For each one should carry their own load. So in this verse we read that we're supposed to carry each other's burden, but in another verse it says we should actually bear out our own loads. You know, here's what happens. We end up wanting things for people that they don't even want themselves. We end up putting our lives on the line for things that they may not even want as a person. You cannot do for people what they refuse to do. You can try. I've tried. You know, here's the thought. You cannot change the soil of another person just by the seed you give them. See, the seed reveals the quality of the soil. So we've got a couple farmers in here. I was an ag major in college. If I take the best seed there is and put it in poor soil, it's not going to grow like it's supposed to. The soil is the heart of a person. If their heart isn't right with God, that seed that you plant in them isn't going to grow. It's going to be unhealthy, and it's going to be an unhealthy growth. But, you know, the seed reveals the quality of the soil. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and Jesus was not trying to change him. Jesus said, all right, you say you have done all of these commandments, but there's one thing that has really sadly missing in your life. And if you do this, then come. And if you do not, then I'll see you later. So, and the rich young ruler went away and Jesus did not go. Oh, wait, King, let's work out a compromise. He let him walk away just because Jesus wasn't willing to compromise the word and compromise his beliefs just to get this man of great wealth on his side. You know, it's a controversial thought that good can influence, does not influence evil. You know, you get 10 apples and you put one bad one in the bunch. The 10 good ones don't make the bad one good, but the one bad one makes the 10 go bad, right? So evil corrupts at times. It doesn't turn out to be a miraculous thing. You cannot influence evil until it decides to do evil, to not do evil anymore. Jesus didn't influence Judas. You cannot influence evil if it doesn't want to do it, if it doesn't want to give up evil. And sometimes these little weeds in our lawn. So I like to have a nice lawn, but in Western Kansas, it's kind of hard to have a nice lawn unless you have a well and can pump water to it. To have a nice lawn, you have to water it. You have to have strong grass. And you do that with fertilizer and things like that. And we just can't afford to water ours because I don't have a well. So we water it to keep it going. So we get weeds in our yard. those are the little compromises that over time will choke out my good grass. It's the same with us. The more we are influenced by evil and the things of this world, it'll slowly eat at us over time. Here's another statement. There's only one will in life that's stronger than God's will, and that's your will. It's my will. That's the only will that's stronger than God's will for your life is your will. See, there's only one person that can choose what you should do. God told you, you know, he's going to lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and you should choose life. But it, again, it's your free will that makes that choice, that God's given you that choice. So your will is greater than God's will. If you don't want what God wants for your life, you don't have to have it. God doesn't force it on you. He doesn't make you do it. When you chose to become a Christian, when you chose to become saved, there's nothing in the world that could stop you. It was your will that chose to do that. Your will was stronger than any other will at that point in life. Let's read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. This is out of the Message Bible, so it's a little, you know, it kind of gets in your face a little bit here. Simpletons, how long will you allow an arrogant, in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots. Now, have you ever, that's pretty strong, right? Idiots is like an Australian term. It just means you did something dumb. You idiot. My wife calls me that once in a while. I was like, you idiot. No, you don't do it that way. Doesn't mean it's a derogatory term. It just means you did something wrong. How long will you refuse to learn? About face, I can revise your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you. I'm ready to tell you all I know. As it is, I've called, but you've turned a deaf ear. I've reached out to you, but you've ignored me. Since you laugh at my counsel and make a joke at my advice, how can I take you seriously? I'll turn the tables and joke about your troubles. What if the roof falls in and your life goes to pieces? What if catastrophe strikes and there's nothing to show for your life but rubble and ashes? You'll need me then. You'll call for me, but don't expect an answer. No matter how hard you look, you won't find me because you hated knowledge and had nothing to do with the fear of God because you wouldn't take my advice and brushed aside all my offers to train you. Well, you've made your bed, now lie in it. You wanted your own way, now how do you like that? Don't you see what happens, you simpletons, you idiots? Carelessness kills, complacency is murder. First, pay attention to me, then relax. Now you can take it easy. You're in good hands. How awesome is this verse out of the Message? I mean, it kind of lays it out pretty bluntly right towards you. Follow God and do what he tells you to do, and your life will be a lot simpler. But when we mock God and we don't take his advice and we don't take his wisdom, that's what complicates things. That's where we get in the deep weeds, and that's where we have troubles. It's hard to overcome those troubles sometimes, but it can be done because lots of people have done that. You just got to follow what God tells you to do. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37 says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So God's talking about judgment and forgiveness in this verse. And Jesus goes on and says, give it and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. See, sometimes we forget that if we sow seed into something, what are you sowing into? What are you sowing into? Are you sowing into somebody's life? Are you sowing the things of God into somebody? I'm not talking about money, but what are you sowing into? I sow things into my kids all the time. That's where it starts at, is at home for us. We sow things. Sometimes they don't like the things I sow in them. They don't like them, especially on trash day. You know, it's got to take out the trash, Bri. I will say he has done a pretty good job this year. I told him this year, you're taking care of lawn. This is your year. We're going to train you up on how to take care of a lawn. Then maybe you can go mow other people's lawns and because you screw mine up, and we'll fix it and we'll get it working, and then we'll iron out the kinks. But he's done a good job of that. He killed my mower the other day, though. I don't know about that. I don't think it was him. I think it's something else. But what are you giving into? You know, in Proverbs 19:17, it says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he does. Who are you sowing into? You got to ask yourself that, because you, as Christians, are supposed to be sowing into people. You're supposed to be the light, suppose, in a dark world. You're supposed to be that. Now I'm going to give you 10 types of people that you just can't help, because unless they change their ways. So the first one, the first person you cannot help is if you cannot help anyone who refuses to believe or accept they have a problem. You can't help those kind of people because, okay, just like, you know, I don't have a weight problem. I can lose weight whenever I want. I'm kind of in denial there, right? You know, I don't have to change because I can change. They're deceiving themselves. They're believing something about themselves that's not correct. They refuse to believe they have a problem and get themselves deeper into problems because they refuse to believe they have a problem. Abraham faced the facts that his body was as good as dead without awakening his faith. You cannot help people that don't accept they have a problem. In Titus 3:10, it says, warn a divisive person and then warn them again. And if they don't change, then you move on to the next. If some Christians could figure out that verse, that's once, that's twice, now we move on, then our lives would be a lot better for that, because we try to want things for people that they don't even want for themselves. The second kind of person you cannot help is, you cannot help someone who believes that they are, that you are their problem. Have you ever ran across anybody like this before? Like, I can't, you know, okay, scenario here. Somebody comes to me and says, you know, Brandon, I'm going to leave the church because of you. Why? Because you're my problem. You can't help me solve my problem. You can't fix my problem. You know, and, you know, I've gone to my counselor. They can't help me. I've gone to the leadership in this church. They can't help me because they're the problem. Have you ever noticed the common denominator in all this is you? You are the problem. They go to their coach. They go to their teacher. They go to whoever, and they can't get help from them because that's their problem. They can't come to terms that it's not everybody else's problem. It's your problem. It's called anointed common sense. In Genesis, God spoke to Abram, and he said to get out of where they are, leave your kinfolk, leave your countrymen, and go somewhere else. But what did Abram not do that God told him? He took Lot with him, which he was not supposed to do because Lot was a relative. And the Bible talks about how Lot and Abram and all the men began to fight and there was mischief. And Abram goes to Lot. The only reason that Lot was blessed is because he was with his uncle Abram. But Lot turns it on Abram and says it's all about the well. They were searching for water wells and where we are going to get water. It's all your fault, Abram. You know, he turned the ties, you know. You know, Abram brought Lot with him, but Lot says, oh, you're the problem. You brought me in this mess. Finally, Abram figures out that he shouldn't have done what God told him to do, or he should have done what God told him to do, not bring anybody with him. And so basically he takes the high road and he says, Lot, you choose a direction and I'll go separate from you. Well, Lot chose the land that had the wells on it because it looked like it was the land that he was supposed to get, or the most fruitful land. Well, in actuality, it was right next to Sodom. And we all know what happens in Sodom, right? It corrupts Lot and all kinds of bad things happen. God was trying to spare them from that. And that's why he was telling them to leave. And he knew that Lot couldn't stand up to the temptation of Sodom. But God's telling you to do something, but yet you kind of do it your own way. That's not what he's telling you. God said to not take anyone, just get up and take your family and leave. Not all your kinfolk, just do what I tell you to do. The third type of person you cannot help is if they desire a different outcome than God. You know, people want what they want, and they may know the truth, but they don't want the truth of what God has for them. They don't want what God wants for them. They want what they want for them. You can't help people like that. See, God, you know, people come to church and they want to be here and be part of a church and learn some things, but they're not really willing to do the things that God wants for them to do. they just want to come and sit and listen to some good music and maybe have a good message or one that rubs you wrong like I'm doing today. And but they don't really want what God wants for them. Here's another example. God says to Samuel, when you go in to take the Amalekites, do not spare a single life. Kill everybody, kill everything, kill it all. So he sends Saul to do this, and when he comes back, Samuel says, you know, he went to, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, 12, it says, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. So basically, Samuel finally catches up to Saul, and Saul's like, hey, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Well, did he? No, because you could hear the cattle. You could hear the lambs. You could hear the sheep. Well, Saul decided that God surely didn't want them to kill everything, right? Didn't want him to do that. So I'll just keep these animals and it'll be a blessing to me because surely that's what God wants. No, God said, kill everything. Now that seems pretty harsh. I get it. But archaeologists have dug up the very spot where cattle and sheep were, and they discovered the remains of the bones of those animals. They were all diseased. God was protecting them from themselves. You cannot help people who desire a different outcome than what God has. God knew things that we don't, God knows things that we don't know. And sometimes he's trying to protect us from ourselves. And that's what he was doing in this case. And Saul didn't do what Samuel told him to do. And it cost him his life. The fourth type of person you cannot help is the one who refuses scriptural solution to their problem. You know, if they don't take knowledge and wisdom from this Bible and use it to help improve their lives, you can't help them because they don't believe this is truth. They believe their own truth sometimes. And if they're not willing to do that, then it's hard to get them to change anything. In Proverbs 5, it says, I was in the midst of ruin in the congregation and assembly, and how I hated the instruction and refused to listen to my instructor. So that's like coming here to church, sitting here in church, Pastor Tim's given a message that lines up with the Word of God, and we're just not listening. We're just not paying attention to it. We're just not taking it in. We're just not doing the things that God's given us to do. And that's the type of person that's just going to be refused to listen to instruction. They're not going to take instruction and gain wisdom when they need to gain wisdom. You know, it's hard to come in here week after week and not be affected in some way, right? I've been here since 1990, been in this church that long. And Pastor Wes was a great teacher of the Word of God. Pastor Tim does a great job. We've had guest ministers over the years, and I've learned a lot. I even took 2 years and went through a correspondence course for biblical studies. There were several of us that did that. And it took 2 years, was it twice a week we did that for 2 years, something like that? And it's amazing how much you can learn, but it's also amazing how much I forgot. You know, it's funny like that. If you don't stay in it, if you don't stay connected, it's just like exercise. If you don't keep lifting weights and keep exercising, this is what you get. Exhibit A. Life gets in the way sometimes, right? But it's just like life gets in the way with the Word of God. You forget those things because you get busy with life, right? We all get busy with life, but you got to remember what feeds your soul and what feeds you is the Word of God. Number five, this is my favorite one, I think. I cannot help anybody who expects me to make a greater investment in them than they are willing to make in themselves. You know, I've coached a lot of sports over the years, and I've lost a lot of sleep over those things, and my professional career, I've lost sleep over, and you know, some of you don't know, I work at Bank of Hayes, I'm a loan officer there, and sometimes, you know, I'm working harder than they're working. I'm trying to figure things out and get them to be profitable or do something, but they're not really working at it. Well, why am I putting in more time for you than you're willing to put in for yourself? It's the same with the Word of God. If you're not willing to do those things, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to I'm not going to lose sleep because you, well, what is that saying? Your urgency or your lack of preparedness doesn't create an emergency on my part. You know, because you didn't do your work, it doesn't create a problem for me. Shane is a teacher. Well, Cassidy's a teacher. Madison's a teacher. Got a bunch of teachers in the house. They lay around all summer. They don't do anything. But they know the kids that have good parents. They know the kids that don't have good parents. And they spend a lot of time with the kids that don't have good parents trying to teach them something during the day. It's somewhat compromising, or it's heartbreaking to know that parents don't take their jobs seriously sometimes. I told Shana, I said, I think I saw this thing on Facebook that parent or teachers should wear body cams like police officers and so their parents can see how their kids act during the day. Should go straight to their phone. But I'm not, you know, if somebody doesn't want to make an investment in themselves, then why should I try? When I've coached kids in the past, you know, I'll work with them and work with them. And if they don't listen, fine, do it your way. You're not going to be successful, but do it your way. You get tired of trying to help somebody that don't want to help themselves. My son wanted to become a better baseball player. So this was a couple years ago. He was used to getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go to wrestling. And once wrestling was over before Christmas, I said, well, if you want, we can still get up at 5:30 and we'll go out to the indoor facility and we'll hit and pitch and do those things every day, Monday, well, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, because Friday we got to go to breakfast Friday morning, every morning. And he wanted to do that. He invested his time into that to make himself a better player. And it paid off, didn't it? It's amazing how it pays off. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard. That's an old saying you see around all the time, but he was willing to put in the time. And so I had to get myself out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. My favorite thing, right? I'm a morning person. I am a morning person. I'm going to confess that until I become a morning person. I've taken Brian to school. Well, this will be the last. He'll be a freshman. He'll go with his mom this year. So I've taken him to school every day before that. And there's no talking in our car. We just don't talk to each other because neither one of us are morning people. It's like, have a good day, Brian. That's it. That's about the extent of our conversation on the way to school. But we both get it. We understand that. The sixth type of person you cannot help is a person who refuses to invest time necessary to bring about transformation. It takes time to transform something from what it was to what it should be. Just like your body, it takes time to transform that from where it was to where you want it to be. You know, and in the Bible, Joshua was Moses' servant. And Moses got to the end of his time. I mean, Moses did great things, right? And Joshua was right there to see all that. And basically, he just didn't put in the time to become the leader after Moses passes away. He just, poured water for Moses' hand. He didn't really put in the time to be the next leader that God wanted him to be. He didn't invest the time to do the transformation. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, keep this book of law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, and so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. See, God gave him the key, meditation and confession of the Word of God. You cannot help somebody who is not willing to invest time to bring about their transformation. Seems simple, doesn't it? It's hard to walk away and do those things. And I'm not saying as Christians we shouldn't help people, because sometimes we all fail, right? I mean, gosh, I do all the time. And it's how you react to that failure. Baseball is a game of failure. The best hitters in the world get 3 hits out of 10. Those are the best hitters in the world. 3 times out of 10 at bats, they get hits. You know, the amount of time you put in to become a good baseball player is evident when you step on the field. I always say the proof is in the pudding, because when you step on the field, I can tell whether you've been working or not. I can tell whether you've been putting in extra time or not. I can tell those things. And that's what God is saying here, is if people are refusing to take the necessary steps to transform themselves, then they're going to be hard to transform. until something changes with themselves that says, yeah, I want to do this, then you're going to be beating your head up against the wall. Number seven, you can't help people who consistently choose relationships that destroy them. You know, there's a lot of people that I'm not just talking about boyfriend-girlfriend situations. I'm talking about friend situation. My wife's always told me, you know, I can tell who you've been hanging out with by the way you're acting. You know, choose your friends wisely. Choose who you hang out with wisely. Get people that think like you do so that you can gain wisdom, I guess, maybe is the proper term, to not have them destroy you. Because if you walk around in a toxic relationship, eventually it's going to get you. Eventually it's going to cost you something. It's number one, it could affect your life. Number two, if you're hanging out with a group of people that kind of have a bad reputation, guess what? You're guilty just by being with them. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. We've told our kids that a lot. If you're hanging out with these kids, then you're associated with them. Whether you want to or not, whether you did anything that they do or not, it doesn't matter. You're associated with them. So be wise of who you hang out with. It sounds insensitive, and sometimes it can be a little tough to stand up for those things, but you got to be able to walk away from those relationships that are destroying you. And everybody's had them. You know, there are times in my life where I've had to choose to walk away from certain things just because it was a bad influence on my life. Now, you don't quit loving them. You don't quit liking them. You just quit hanging out with them as much. You quit, basically spending all your time with them. Choose those relationships wisely. Walk with the wise and become wise. And excuse me, Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. The Bible does not say you are wise. It says you become wise, right? It says if you walk with the wise, you will be wise, but you got to walk with them first. If you walk with a fool, you'll get what they have as well. It's funny how sowing and reaping is kind of a law in God, right? Kind of a thing that he uses, right? It is a big thing. If you walk with the wise, you will grow wise. See, if you get mixed up in a crowd, in a not so good crowd, over time it'll compromise you. I remember Shayna used to tell me, she used to eat in the cafeteria at high school. This was years ago. And she just quit eating in the cafeteria with all the other teachers because there were a few of them that were pretty critical of things. And she found herself being that way. So she just had to bring her lunch and stay in her room. And she's done that for a long time now, years. But she didn't have to say, hey, I don't like you anymore. She still liked him and treated him with respect, but she just didn't want to be corrupted by that every day at lunch. So, if you're a good friend to somebody and they stumble and fall, do you just cover it up or do you kind of help them? You kind of help them, right? Maybe you have to confront them and say, man, what you're doing isn't right. Now, that may not be comfortable to do, but it's what a true friend would do. I'm going to stand with you even if I don't agree with it, but I'm going to tell you I don't agree with it. Now, don't expect me to lie for you just because we're friends. Don't expect me to compromise for you because we're friends. But I'm going to be there for you, and we're going to get through this together. But that's the kind of relationship you need to have with your friends, is somebody that can challenge you once in a while. Somebody that can say, hey, Brandon, you're missing the mark here. You're not treating your wife very well. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't. That's not true. I treat her like a queen, like the queen that she is. Right, honey? Sure. That's the answer you get when you know it's not the answer you want. Sure. I lost my place here. Oh, I was going to tell you about, I heard a story about this Christian rock singer. This would have been a pretty famous group way back when, and they used to tour all over the country. And they were a Christian rock band. Well, they got caught up in the rock lifestyle and started using cocaine and just partying just like any other rock band. And they would even pay pastors to come with them on their tours give the perception of accountability. See, they weren't accountable to any local church. They weren't accountable to anybody, but these pastors would take the money and to give a cover for them, so to speak, showing that they had accountability. Well, it ended up destroying his life, destroying his marriage, destroying the band, destroying everything because they were compromised. And these pastors, I don't know who they were, but they probably suffered some problems too because they chose to compromise what God believed in them or what God believes just for some money, right? Well, it can ruin everything. They didn't say anything, and it went on for a long time. And that's not the kind of friend you want on your side. The eighth person you cannot help, the type of person that leads others astray. You can't help people that lead other people astray. I'll just leave that one there. Number nine, you cannot help anyone who wants to disobey God. In Isaiah 1:17-18, it says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow." And you cannot help those that want to disobey God. You know, if you constantly are around somebody that just doesn't want to follow what God, you know, love one another, love yourself, if they don't want to follow the principles of God, then it's pretty hard to hang out with them at times. It's pretty tough. You cannot help them because they want to do what God tells you not to do. And the 10th kind, then I'll be done. I'll get out of your hair. You cannot help anyone who refuses to use their seed to create their future. If you're not sowing into a local body, if you're not doing those things, God, you're closing the book to God helping you with finances. You're closing the book to God help you with other stuff in your life. But if you're not using your seed to create your future, God can't help. It's a law. He won't step in when you're not sowing into, you're not sowing your seed into someone else, some church or something. If you're not using your seed to grow your future, then God can't help that. He won't honor that. Your seed is important. Seed time, harvest time is huge in the body of Christ. The world calls it karma. You get what get what you deserve type of things. We call it seed time, harvest time. You sow a seed for your future to not compromise those things. You don't dig up that seed by not praising God and doing stuff to compromise what God has called you to do. You let that seed grow. I've been a tither in this church since we were married for sure, and that's 30 years. I did that math real quick, 30 years. And I got to tell you, there are times when things were tight for us. I mean, they were. One thing we didn't compromise on is our seed. We weren't going to stop sowing our seed because we were like, we know what this does. It rebukes the devourer, number one. That's huge. God rebukes the devourer because of your tithe. I know it's uncomfortable to talk about money and sex in here, and I'm going to start on sex next. No. No, I'm not. But I just want you to know how important that is. We overlook that sometimes when I receive the offering up here. We don't think about that seed time, that seed that we're planting, and planting it in good soil and doing the right things that God's called you to do. You know, honor God with your first fruits. That's what he tells you to do. So, is everybody okay with that? Good? Good? All right. It's 11:20. We can't get out before 11:30, can we? No, just kidding. Let's stand. Lord, we just thank you that you help us grow in you, Lord, that we know there are just certain people we can't help. But Lord, we also know that your grace is sufficient for all. Lord, we just know that you can turn their hearts toward you and they can walk in the wisdom of your word. Lord, we just know that you can change their pathways because you changed ours. You changed me. You changed the way I was going. You did that. Lord, we just want to follow what you've told us to do. We just want to do what you tell us to do when you tell us to do it. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. See y'all next time.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.